Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by our Mississippi State writer, Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We're talking all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, doing good, Parrish. Trying to get back into the game week routine. You know, it's tough to do that. You know, you get a bye week and you kind of get used to a little bit of time off. And that's something we don't get a whole lot of this time of year. And for me especially, you know, it's been going on 3 weeks since I've covered a football game. Since, you know, September the 17th was the last time I actually saw Mississippi State play in person. So, you know, I'm sort of ready to get back into it. They get that early 11 o'clock kickoff on Saturday against Auburn. And, yeah, I have to set my alarm for football. I've always been against setting an alarm to wake up to go to watch football. But now that I'm right on deadline, I kind of appreciate those early games.
Oh, absolutely. And as you're getting back into game week routine, I'm getting out of it. The Rebels have an open date this week before traveling to Arkansas. Next week, we'll talk about the Ole Miss in a little bit. Let's talk, Logan, about the Bulldogs first as they get back into this game week routine at 2-2. The last time Auburn came to Starkville, that was a pretty big win for Mississippi State. It catapulted them into the number one spot in the rankings that year. Was that something that was discussed this week in Starkville?
It was, and that's kind of going to be my focal point for our game day feature on Saturday, is just how big that game was and kind of how things have gone, you know, 2 years later. But that was, you know, number two versus number three, and Mississippi State wins that game. Dan Mullen called that the biggest game atmosphere-wise that he's had at Mississippi State. And, I mean, it truly was a pretty awesome atmosphere at Davis Wade Stadium that afternoon. And yeah, Mississippi State's won, you know, the last two over Auburn. They've won three out of the last four against the Tigers. So they've won the last two that are played in here in Starkville. And that's where the game is again this year. And it's a really big game for Mississippi State. I mean, you talked about them being 2-2 at this point. You know, that South Alabama loss to open the season is going to linger the whole year. I mean, it was going to be, Mississippi State was going to be one of those fringe bowl teams anyway, and losing that game really, really hurt their chances. So they've got to pick up some more wins somewhere along the line. I mean, Auburn is the only home SEC game that State has during the month of October. So, and stretch in November is pretty brutal. So they really need to get this game this weekend. And, you know, Auburn played really well last weekend, rolled up nearly 700 yards of offense, nearly 60 points of, I think they won 58-7 over Louisiana Monroe, and had 688 yards of offense or something along those lines. And it's just, you know, it seemed like things started clicking for them on both sides of the ball. I mean, I know Louisiana Monroe is not the best opponent in the world.
Hey, truth hurts, man. Truth hurts.
But yeah, at the same time, neither was South Alabama, and you know, Mississippi State lost to them. Of course, they ended up beating San Diego State over the weekend too. So they've beaten Mississippi State and a ranked opponent in San Diego State. So the Jaguars are making a little bit of noise this year. But yeah, like I said, Mississippi State needs this win this weekend in a bad way. They've got to win pretty much their next four ball games. You know, they need to win out the month of October. And yeah, they've got Auburn starting off, and they go to BYU, to Kentucky, and then they're back at to close out the month at home against Samford for homecoming. And you know, the month of November is really, really brutal for State. You know, Texas A&M at home, then you go to Alabama, Arkansas at home, and then you go to Ole Miss this year. So yeah, that schedule, they could go 0 for November with that, you know, with the way that Texas A&M and Arkansas is playing so far this season. So Mississippi State needs to have a strong month of October to kind of salvage those bowl hopes. You know, State's been to a bowl game each of the last 6 years. So to keep that bowl streak alive, they're going to have to win out in October to finish 6-6 probably.
Well, tell me a little bit about Auburn. What have you learned this week? I mean, it like you said, it's hard to get a read on this team. And, you know, just think a year ago, prior to the 2015 season, there was so much hype about Auburn, and there were people listing Jeremy Johnson as a fringe Heisman candidate, you know, a very big athletic kid at quarterback, but just could not make it click. And Auburn just seemed to struggle the entire season, even after they made a change at the quarterback position. They bring in an East Mississippi Community College transfer, and, you know, Ole Miss is won a lot of games with EMCC transfers and Bo Wallace first and now Chad Kelly. But John Franklin III, supposed to be a very gifted dual-threat quarterback. You know, you were hearing some of that same vibe for Auburn this season. Some people, you know, less of it because of what happened last year, but there were some people who felt like when they got John Franklin III in there that they were really going to start to click. But it sounds like they've been somewhat inconsistent on offense. I know they didn't score a touchdown against LSU, kicked enough field goals to win, and played good defense. And now they've put up a lot of points against some questionable opponents. I didn't see the game against the university formerly known as Northeast Louisiana. But I did notice that John Franklin came off the bench in the third quarter and got some things done. But what do you know about their quarterback situation?
Well, it's going to be Sean White, and obviously Mississippi State fans are familiar with him. He got his first start against the Bulldogs last year when they played at Auburn, and Mississippi State won that game. But Sean White played pretty well as a first-time starter, and obviously he's got a lot more experience up under his belt now. John Franklin III is 6 out of 10 on the year for 73 yards and a touchdown.
Something's happened there, you know, that with all of the hype that was around his name coming in, you know, they've just not evaluated him to be a guy that can help them at this point. And I noticed he had a couple of big plays against Louisiana Monroe. That's not what it says on my degree, by the way. But, it looks like, sometimes you recruit these guys, you evaluate, and you miss. For whatever reason, he's not at a point that they feel like he can help them at this time. And they have been somewhat erratic on offense. But go ahead and just talk about what you've learned about them this week.
Well, John Franklin III, you know, he's more of a running threat. So when he's in the ball game, he's more that wildcat type of guy. He does have 16 carries for 203 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, when he's in the game, he's more of a threat to run the ball. But at the same time, he didn't start at Scuba last year. I mean, Wyatt Roberts was a starter, and he's actually Mississippi State's scout team quarterback this year is a walk-on. So, I mean, it's not like he would just walk down to Scuba and won that job either. So, it sounds like he's having some struggles on the plains too. I mean, obviously he's athletic, but he's not the biggest guy in the world either. So, you know, Sean White has the starting experience. I mean, Jeremy Johnson's the third guy, you know, and they thought, you know, like you mentioned, you know, they had all the highs and hype about him a year ago, and he's really not even came close to living up to that. So he's the third guy on the bench, and you know, I imagine he probably still has a role on the team. He's only played in one game so far this year, but you know, he may still have a role for that team down there on the goal line, you know, because he does have a big body, can move a pile if it came down to it. But you know, it seems like Auburn's kind of stuck with what they did. You know, I know that first game they kind of alternated all three of those quarterbacks in the mix, but you know, it sounds like it's, you know, the Sean White show right now. And you know, they've got some playmakers. I mean, Auburn has recruited awfully well, you know, for a long, long time. But you know, the last few years they just really haven't got the most out of it, those highly ranked recruits. They just, you know, it seemed like the expectations have always been higher than they've actually lived up to. And, yeah, it seems like Auburn's playing a little bit better ball, you know, of late. I mean, that, you know, they played Clemson down to the wire to open up the year. I mean, they lost 19-13 in that game that was played in Auburn. So, you know, when you lose by 6 points to the number two team in the country, I mean, you know, you've got some talent. I mean, you can obviously play with anybody, but at the same time, this is also Auburn's first road game of the season. They played the entire, first 5 games were at home. They haven't left Jordan-Hare Stadium, or Jordan-Hare, however they want to say it, They haven't left there all season, so this would be a truly different experience for most of this Auburn team going on the road for the first time this year.
Well, we talked about Mississippi State's brutal November. Ole Miss had the brutal September and came out of it really, basically with the bare minimum. They did what they had to do to really maintain some goals and keep themselves on track. They were not able to split with Florida State and Alabama. If they could have gotten one of those two wins and finished September 3-1, they could really have, still been more of a national conversation right now. They've kind of worked their way back up the rankings. But this is a team with some issues. As good as they have been, as strong as they have been on offense when they've protected Chad Kelly and not turned the ball over, there are still issues defensively with this team. They thought they were going to be really good with the defensive line, and it turns out that people have been able to run on Ole Miss pretty well. They've had some injuries that have played into that. They haven't gotten the defensive end play that they need with Fadal Brown not being available, not coming back from the stress fracture in the foot that he had late last year. That's a lot of experience lost at that position. So all of a sudden, a couple of third-year sophomores who have been role players and Victor Evans and Gerald McDowell have been forced into bigger roles, and they've just been okay. They've done some good things, but at the same time, they've shown their inexperience. So, that's contributed to how teams have been able to run on Ole Miss, as has the linebacker play. And that's really kind of been the big emphasis for this week during the open date, has been to find a middle linebacker. They will not be able to leave DeMarcus Gates exclusively on the outside as they would like. The first thing Gates has to do is to regain his status as team member in good standing. He was suspended for the Memphis game for what Hugh Freeze later called violation of team standards. I guess that sounds a little bit better than team rules. But anyway, a violation of team standards, and when asked later about Gates, whether it would be a multiple game suspension or just one, he kind of gave us that balls in his court kind of answer. So probably DeMarcus Gates is back on the field against Arkansas. Certainly Ole Miss needs him. This assumes that he will, meet the satisfactory requirements of whatever discipline is handed out. But they will not be able to leave him exclusively on the outside. There are still a lot of questions at middle linebacker. Gates is better on the outside, but he knows both positions and he fits the run better than some others in the middle who are struggling right now. They really thought that the answer at middle linebacker was going to be the Oregon State grad transfer, Rommel Mungeo. I think I got it right that time. Rommel Mungeo. I say that name, Logan, and I think Desert Fox. I think the old German general, Erwin Rommel. But anyway, Rommel Mungeo has not been able to win the job. He's had trouble with some of the quickness that he's seeing. He's had trouble with run fits and tackling, and he just has not been the answer at middle linebacker. Now, they also signed a junior college transfer, a former Georgia signee, in Dietrich Bing Dukes, and Bing Dukes did some good things against Georgia. His former school finished with 7 tackles in that game, had another 7 against Memphis, but he's not really suited to play that spread offense that requires those linebackers to cover and play in space a lot. He's a big guy. He's been very effective against the run, and that's why I think you'll see him continue to play and probably continue to start. But he had to get out of his comfort zone a little bit against Memphis, and there were mixed results when he did that. They are taking a look this week at redshirt freshman Willie Hibbler, 6'2", 231, very athletic guy out of North Panola. He signed as a tight end, moved to linebacker relatively early in his career. Dave Womack, the defensive coordinator, earlier this week described Hibbler as a little tentative right now. They've tried to work him in and get him some reps, and they're eager for him to come to a greater understanding of the scheme and just play faster. It'll be interesting to see if there is a bigger role for Hibbler around the corner. Certainly, Ole Miss needs to, you know, answer some questions at that position. When you talk about linebackers, and I look at this Arkansas team coming up on the schedule next week, you know, Logan, just some of the clips I saw of these guys against Texas A&M really left something to be desired for their linebacker play as well. There were some times that Trevor Knight took off and just ran up the middle and was basically uncontested because linebackers were out of position for Arkansas. So that game may come down to who gets the best play at that position on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see. Certainly a lot of talk next week will be about the lateral and the 53-52 overtime loss for Ole Miss at home last year against Arkansas, the game that ultimately, you didn't know it then, still had a lot of football to play, but that was a game that ultimately kept Ole Miss out of the SEC championship game in Atlanta. The Rebels went 5-1 against the SEC West last year. That's pretty strong. Only loss was on that lateral to Arkansas, so that'll be a big talking point next week. Looking at the open date and just what the Rebels want to accomplish, they want to continue to work and show the improvement that they've shown of late in the run game. The Rebels have surpassed 175 yards on the ground the last 2 weeks, something they'd previously done only against Wofford, and that was just for 179 yards. Ole Miss rushed for just 67 yards on opening night against Florida State and just 101 against Alabama. But they really excelled on the ground against Memphis. Logan, 263 yards on 44 carries. It's hard to get a read on exactly what that means because Memphis's first three opponents weren't that strong, and the Tigers racked up some good numbers on both sides of the ball. They play a gambling defense, and sometimes they gamble wrong. I do think, though, that Ole Miss is getting good offensive line play right now, and this was a question mark going into the year, but Rod Taylor is holding his own at left tackle, and Greg Little, the five-star freshman, is working in there as well. And, you know, there have been some holes for Akeem Judd at running back, and late in the game against Memphis, there were holes for Eugene Brasley. Judd has shown some good vision and has picked up some yards on cutbacks. Brasley is an interesting story. He signed in 2013 and was eventually buried on the depth chart behind Jalen Walton, Itavius Mathers, and Mark Dodson. Well, two of those three, Mathers and Dodson, have, you know, left the program. But Brasley still couldn't climb ahead of Judd, Jordan Wilkins, and Eric Swinney. Now Wilkins is out because of an administrative error regarding his academics. Swinney tore up his knee on his first college carry, and Brasley, you know, he's getting his shot. You know, he gained a lot of attention from fans last year with some really big runs in mop-up duty early in the season. Now the running back position is thinned out, his numbers getting called, and he's producing. And his quickness was a big factor against the Memphis defense that had been on the field for a while. And Brasley took advantage of that and finished with 124 yards and two touchdowns on 13 carries. So, you know, Ole Miss really trying to reestablish itself on the ground. I think it starts with some solid offensive line play, and we'll see if they are able to continue that against Arkansas.
Yeah, and last week, you know, Mississippi State's off week. They just worked a lot on their fundamentals. They're such a young team right now, Parrish. You know, 16 freshmen have played this year. 20 players have played for the first time. So they got 20 first-year players out there on their roster. And they're just really young in a lot of positions. I mean, there's a lot more freshmen and sophomores out there on the field than it is juniors and seniors. So, you've seen that at times. I mean, they just look like a young football team. You know, mistakes. I mean, a lot of these touchdowns that the opponents are making on Mississippi State, especially on touchdown throws, the guys will be in position, but, you know, nobody just jumps up to, you know, knock the ball down. That was the case in one of those South Alabama touchdowns. They had three players surrounding receivers on two of those touchdowns against South Alabama, and nobody makes a play on the ball. And it's just kind of been one of those situations where they've just got to learn to make those type of plays. And they worked on a lot of that stuff last week. Really didn't get a whole lot of a head start on Auburn last week. They said they were just working on their own techniques and working on themselves, basically, during last week. They really didn't even – the coaches themselves didn't start game planning for Auburn until Thursday, until at Mississippi State practice Thursday morning. And then the coaches that afternoon began work on a game plan for Auburn. And the players got the weekend off. They were off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then got back to work on Monday. So, you know, they've got some time off this week, which is probably good for a young team as well. Just, you know, to get away from football for a little while. They've kind of been going since the 1st of August without any time off. So they gave them a weekend off and it gave everybody a chance to recharge their batteries. So, we'll have to see how they, you know, handled that, you know, whether that was a good thing, you know, to get some time off or whether they needed some extra work. But, you know, Dan Mullen thought that was best for his team, and you know we'll have to see they, how they come out against Auburn. I mean, it's kind of it seems weird, but Mississippi State has not played at home since September the 10th. You know, I talked earlier about how many home games Auburn had had in a row. Well, Mississippi State, it's been nearly a month since they've played at home. So, and I know there's a lot of fans that you know don't travel with Mississippi State, so they haven't seen them as well. They're kind of like me; I hadn't seen them in a while either. The last time I saw them was at LSU on September 17th. So I'm sort of anxious to get back out there and get back to covering the team and actually covering a game. You know, it's hard to cover a team when you're just talking to them after practice. I mean, we don't get to watch practice either. So it's just a lot of talking, and I'm actually ready to, you know, get back to covering some ball games.
Well, I tell you what, Ole Miss had four straight home games, Logan, after the neutral site game against Florida State in Orlando. Technically, Arkansas will be the Rebels' first road game. Now, that game in Orlando, for all intents and purposes, was a road game with the overwhelming number of Florida State fans there. So it's not like they haven't experienced a hostile environment. But this is a big stretch for Ole Miss, too, because if you're going to really assert yourself in the Western Division race, I mean, this is it. I mean, this, you know, Alabama's in the rearview mirror. These are the teams that you have to beat to climb the ladder. LSU was, you know, projected by many to win the West. People thought the Tigers were going to have that kind of year with that kind of talent. Now you really don't know what to make of them. They've already fired Les Miles. They struggled and lost in bizarre fashion there against Auburn. They come out and beat Missouri and Ed Ogeron's first game as interim coach, 42-7. I don't think Missouri is that good, but 42-7 against an SEC opponent gets your attention. It means you're executing. It means you're protecting the ball, and you're doing a lot of good things that apparently were not going on offense this year for LSU before their change at head coach. So you don't really know what to make of the Tigers right now, and you might not know after this weekend if their game at Florida Saturday morning, scheduled for Saturday morning at 11 a.m. If that game doesn't take place, and that's up in the air as we produce this program right now, then you know you're just going to have that Missouri game to go on, and you know it's just it's hard to get a read on those guys right now. So big stretch for Ole Miss, back-to-back road games starting next week. At Arkansas and then at LSU. Then they come home and play Auburn. So, you know, an important several games for the Rebels to see if they can get their season really back on track and set themselves up for the goals that they had in place back in August. With the Alabama game behind them now, they have gotten off to a good start in home wins over Georgia and Memphis. They've shown that they are very explosive on offense when they protect the football and you know, and get some protection for Chad Kelly. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking with us today. I want to remind you of some other Daily Journal podcasts to search for. Check out The Memo, our news podcast, All Things Northeast Mississippi. with Brad Locke and Derek Russell 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And check out Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan for all your high school sports needs. That's Prep Rally. It comes to you every Wednesday. And we'll be back here with you next week for another edition of Double Coverage.